This is part two of that infamous lecture on the visual and performing arts. We looked last week at Colossians 3, 1 through 5. If then you were raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. And that was the jump-off point for our discussion last week. And we talked about how the church is involved in immorality, whether the church wants to admit it or not, whether the bride of Christ wants to admit it or not, we, us, her, she, the church, is involved in adultery, being seduced by Satan, and in essence going to bed week after week. We talked about how we sing hymns to God, asking God to help us be holy, while refusing to give up our immoral amusement. We looked at Israel of old and how we are quick to repeat God's words, how Israel was stubborn, stiff-necked Israelites, and how they worshiped Baal and how they got involved with the worldly things and how they just try to shuck and jive and say it's no big deal. Despite the fact that God said it was a big deal, they not only did not get God's blessing, but they got God's condemnation, and apparently never could understand why, many of them. And we talked about Christians of today, the church and movies, and we just go like the Pied Piper, just following the Pied Piper, with crude language, blasphemy, incredible violence, nudity, sexual immorality, profanity. We talked about how in the olden times, we compared ancient religions to contemporary society and how in religions of old, I suppose you could say Satan, I suppose you could say that, how Satan captured people's souls through sexual immorality. And they had temple prostitutes, AC/DC, anything, any way you want it, any which way you want it served up. And they captured souls through sex. We talked about how the temple is now the screen. And we now have sophisticated sex as Christians. And we look at the screen and we can sit right next to somebody with our clothes on and be involved in sexual immorality. And sophisticated Christians are now reserving their front row seats. So seduced by Satan, it's like make-believe sex, simulated sex. It's just the most unbelievable thing that we can imagine. But, you know, we're humans, and we're creative, and we can really pull some things off. And the world probably, if the Lord lets us live, the world has not seen what perversion we will do, but will the church be involved? So far, most of us say, and it's only so far, and it's only most of us, so far, most of us in this room would say we would never watch live. We would never get that seat, that seat, that seat, that seat, not even that seat. That we would never watch live what we pay to watch on the screen, because somehow we've separated. That's wrong. That's make-believe, even though it really happened. We talked about advertisers. I'm just glad I'm just digging this stuff all up again. We talked about advertisers and how Scope and Pepsi and Coca-Cola and all these folks have more of a hold on reality than Christians. And how they will pay literally millions of dollars to producers to get Scope on the nightstand while the sex scene's going on. So we will go out and buy Scope so we can get the kind of person in bed, or at least liking us, that person is. We know that two or three seconds of Scope sells millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of Scope. But we say that naked people and profanity and blasphemy and all kinds of things doesn't affect us because we're so cool. We talked about Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to talk a lot more. There's a whole lesson on Romans 12, 1 and 2 that's coming up soon, pardon me, at a theater near you. And I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable. And perfect. And God wants us to renew our minds. and there's just no way in the world we can keep participating in the sexual activity and more and have our minds renewed. We talked about how when Christians in the church, like the Germain family, I used it as an example, when Christians in the church try to live a holy life, we are slam dunked as being dorks and whatever the current word might be, jerks. So what's the current word for that? Say again? Okay, we'll use the old word. Maybe my name will become like a synonym for dork, you know, becoming a German. It's just unbelievable how hard it is to raise a family. I'd almost rather raise a family in a bar, like I used to be raised, than in the church. Because black is black and white is white, and no one's shucking and jiving, and they're sinning and they know it, basically. But in the church, they're sinning and they won't admit it. And if my kids and if I try to live a holy life, we are ostracized within the church. So that's what we talked about last week. Now we're going to move right along. I want to talk about some steps to overcome. I want to talk about steps to overcome this mess that we're in. Now, don't worry about it. Dr. Miller doesn't worry about it. Why should I worry about it? If you know what I mean. I want to give you five great principles from Scripture. That's what makes them great. To enable you to break free from our, to enable us to break free. I guess I shouldn't say you and our, I guess. I don't know. To enable us to break free from our addiction to the soft pornography that much visual and performing arts contain. I lied. I worried about it. The first thing is, I know that there's some of you, I know this for a projected fact based on the past performance of other classes. I know there's got to be a bunch of people in here saying, I can't. I live on this stuff. You don't understand. If I was as old as you, maybe I could do it. You're so old, they've had black and white TVs only when you were a kid. That's true. But just think of how much longer I've been addicted than you, and I broke free. But the first great principle is one we talked about already, and that's to believe God. When God says that no temptation shall overtake you, but such as is common to Ed Germain and to Peter and to pick a name, Larry name, Kathy, there's no temptation that's overcome you, but such as is common to man. But God's faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able. Daisy can get out of that line. Daisy does not have to go to that movie. Daisy could have rented the movie from Blockbuster, paid the $3, and still doesn't have to watch it. Isn't that amazing? But with the temptation, it will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. And so, folks, did I give this example? I don't know what examples to use, especially on tape. There's some of the things I've said on tape already. I'm just moaning. I forgot I'm on tape. There are things you got to do. Did I give you an example of my wife and I in a restaurant? Did I give you that example about a way of escape? Okay. Fairly recently, took my wife to a restaurant, and some of you say I'm cheap. And I'm sitting there, I was having a good time. I was looking at my wife, chit-chatting, telling how good she looked, admiring how good she looked, da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, there's this woman. And she's alone, and she's beautiful, and she's wearing a short skirt, and she ain't doing nothing right. And I'm trying to talk to my wife. And I'm trying to tell my wife I love her. And I am having a tough time. Now, I said to myself, self, what are you going to do? I said, what can I do? I don't want to tell Vicky what's going on. You think I want to know what's going on in my mind and what's over there? I don't want to do that. And so I'm talking to her again, but it is difficult. And so I say to myself, self, what else do you know? And I 1 Corinthians 10:13 came to my mind. There's a way out of here. And I say, okay, God, there's a way out of here. Show it to me. Would you please make that woman go poof and disappear? And he said, no. There's a way out of here. Put on those spiritual glasses, Ed. How do you get out of here? Put them on. There's a way out. And I said, okay, God, there's a way out. Whatever it is, I'll take it. You show it to me. What'd you say, Vicky? And I realized. I said, I had to do it. I said, Vicky, excuse me. I said, would you change seats with me? And she said, why? And I said, just change seats with me. And she said, you know, you're so crazy when you go out to the can't you just relax? You're always worried about when is that. You're not like that. I said, well, you don't change seats with me. She said, if it'll make you happy, I'll change seats with you. So we changed seats. You know, the water, the whatever, the tea, the whole thing. And we sit down, she goes, oh. I said, thank you. And she said, and this is what she said to me. I didn't know how I'm like, 20 years. I don't want to say that. I don't want to admit I'm an animal. I don't admit I'm a man. I don't want to admit anything. I don't admit anything. And she said to me, I am so proud of you. Thank you. I thought I'd help you so much. Thank you. And I said, thank you, Lord. I said, let's pray. I did. Everybody thought we were praying over the food. I said, thank you, God, for getting me out of that temptation. In Jesus' name. And Vicky said, amen. All right. So, the first thing is you got to believe God. It's there for you. Second thing is, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you got to live by this. So that's what 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, glorify God in all you do. And now, that you got to aim toward that. And so, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you say something bad and you didn't glorify God. I understand that. He understands. But you got to aim toward glorifying God in all you do. If you aim toward that, there's just no way that your addiction is going to have the hold on you that it does. It's amazing. When you start glorifying God, all you do is like you're going like this to the addiction. And you step on a finger and you can't hold on. The next thing is to guard and renew your mind. Guard and renew your mind. If you set out to guard your mind, to renew your mind, I'll talk more about that later on, the whole Romans 12, 1 and 2, you just have a whole different perspective. If you're trying to renew your mind, how can naked people be renewing your mind? It just doesn't fit. And Dr. Miller said something the other day about, can he say this about a runner and how much, who said that? Somebody talked about running in a race and you're just trying to get all this stuff off of you because it's the little things that hold you up and slow you down. Carl Lewis, who said about Carl Lewis? Someone said this. All right, somebody said that Carl Lewis, when he runs, doesn't run looking up into the crowd and doesn't and stays focused and doesn't great runner and doesn't wear heavy stuff. He wears light stuff and he gets rid of all the little encumbrances so he can fly down the track. Well, spiritually, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You people want to be holy. You're paying money to get holy. Yet you're the holiest people I know. If you're the holiest people I know and you're paying money to get holy, goodness gracious, what's the sense of running the race with this thing on your back? You want to win the race? Let me give you a clue. Take the thing off your back. Lay it aside. And fix your eye on the front of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross on your behalf, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Yo, ho, 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 ho. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Now, this isn't a rocket science of stuff, number four. Let's go like that. That kind of works. Stay away from temptation. Philippians 4:8. Let me go back. Philippians 4:8 says, think on the things that are true, honorable, right, and pure. How many times have you heard Philippians 4:8 being said? How many times have you read Philippians 4:8? It says, meditate on the things, think on the things that are true, honorable, right, and pure. And it goes on. There's about four more. I never memorized the rest of it. Let me ask you a question. How often have you set out to meditate on things that are true, honorable, right, and pure? You've set out to love people. You set out to put to death certain sins. People look at Philippians 4:8 as some la-di-da verse, and it's one of the greatest battle verses in the Bible. Because if I go You know, I really do. I really do. I didn't for years. I just said, isn't that a nice verse? To think on the things that are true, honorable, right, and pure. God wasn't looking for applauses on how he told Paul to put that thing together. He's saying this is a battle plan. And so do you ever go out into the woods or in your room or wherever you go? Do you ever go purposefully to meditate on things that are true, that are honorable, on God as creator? Nothing but and do it regularly? You know, that changes your mind. It changes your mind. It renews your mind. You think differently. You feel differently. You act differently. It's an amazing thing, taking the manual, the Bible, and following it. It's an amazing thing. What you cannot do now, you will be able to do if you simply follow the directions. And so many people live a defeated Christian life because they don't follow the directions. They know the direction. I mean, it's incredible. It's like getting a bike for Christmas. And you have the directions, and you can recite them, but you never use them, and you never have a bike to ride. You want the victorious Christian life? You've got a book full of directions to experience things you've never experienced before. Knowing them does you squat. Following them changes you. It's so simple, but people don't do it. Now, back to Matthew 6:13. Matthew 6:13 is awesome. It says, and lead us not into temptation, in the Lord's Prayer. Now, how can we pray that? And lead us not into temptation, and then purposefully go out to sin? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now let me give you an example. Let me lead you for the moment. Let me show you how ridiculous we are. And let me make it personal. Let me show you how ridiculous you are. Okay. I am not going to sit down next to Star or anybody else. Doesn't that feel good when you get to this side of the room? Why is he over here? Even Carmela looks nervous. Everybody looks nervous. She looks nervous. Everybody, I'm going over here. Anyway, I am no longer... I couldn't... All I remember is what your dog's name is not right now. I can't remember what your dog's name is. Never mind. Poppy, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was coming up with Cookie after that, but... Okay. I am no longer Edge of Man for a few minutes. I am the devil. All right. Good-looking devil, huh? It's a long story. Hey, guys. I got a deal for you. I've got something that I've put together. I've had some humans put it together because I know you folks are human. And I'll tell you what it is. It is a 10-minute movie that will give you an experience that you never had before. You think you've had it, but you ain't had it. It will give you a sexual experience guaranteed for men and women. To give you a sexual experience that will be so phenomenally pleasurable. Would you please come and watch it with me? I am so sorry. I forgot who I was talking to. You're born-againers, aren't you? I forgive me for offending your sensibilities. Born-againers, I have got a phenomenal movie. You'll love it. And because you're born-againers, I'm going to take that 10 minutes out. I'm not going to take it out. I'm going to spread it out. I'm going to spread it out for you because you're born-againers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the same 10 minutes, that same naked woman, frontal nudity, rear nudity, side nudity, all kinds of nudity. I'm going to put it all together for you in ways that you never imagined yet. You thought you did, but you didn't. But I'm going to spread it out because you're born-againers. I'm going to put about 3 minutes over here, 2 minutes over here, 1 minute over here, and then we'll end at the end. Four more minutes. And that way you can go to the movies and it wouldn't be not like you're going to an X-rated movie. It's, you know, how many will come now? Oh, I messed up again. You're not just born again, you're Bible college students. Oh, I must be so offensive to you. I am so sorry. I tell you what we're going to do. Because you're Bible college students, We'll take that same 10-minute movie. We'll spread it out and put it all over the place and spread it out. Same 10 minutes. I won't leave anything out, I promise. And we'll give phenomenal cinematography. Look it up if you don't know what it means. And we will put a musical score in there. It's going to be on all radio stations. And we're going to get the best actresses and best actor. You just tell me who you want in there and I'll put them in. And something I know you can't resist. Academy Award, not only a nomination, but they'll win Best Picture of the Year. Now, how many of you people will come? We'll get it rated R. How many of you will come? Back to Ed Germain. Survey says, most of you. What you wouldn't dream of looking at in a 10-minute movie, you will not miss a half a second. If it was just condensed, you wouldn't look at it. But if he spreads it out, you're suckered. And you say, well, you know, how can I miss it? What about the plot? Didn't you miss the German? La plot. And I said, I'm so sorry I didn't consider the plot. Of course you can go and filthy up your mind. Just talk to the Lord about it. But you understand that is precisely what Satan does to us, guys. We pray, lead us not into temptation, and we are the biggest suckers. What we would never do, all he has to do is put a little garnish around it, and we go. Academy Award nomination, we're dead. If it wins, well, we've got to do it. I mean, it won the Academy Award, and the whole youth group is going. You see what I'm saying? I hope you see what I'm saying. And the last thing is to be spiritually wise and reasonable. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be spiritually wise. Be reasonable. Now, unfortunately, I forgot something, but it's okay. We can get by without it. Do you know I hope you know about the preview. So what do we do? Let me put it this way. What do we do? I'm saying all this jazz. How do we get out? How do we pull our heads out of the toilet bowl? How do we start? Are you with me? Are everybody with me over here? Did I do something wrong? What did I do wrong? Are you with me or did I do something wrong? Okay, I knew I did something wrong. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:12. All right, there is. I meant to hold up a copy. There it is. Can you see it? Of the preview guide. It comes out every week or every 2 weeks. It's in the student center. It's in the dean's offices. It's preview. That's what it says. Preview, and it gives a write up which I don't give a rip about someone else's. It's about that big, but it's yellow. And it gives a write-up and says, well, if this movie good, if maybe not good, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'll tell you what's on it. Now, I just look at the box. Now, look, I don't have all the answers, folks. I'm going to tell you this right up front. I wish I did, and maybe, at some people's request, we will talk about this. Maybe I'll do a lunch. Maybe I'll do something. I'll give you guys a chance to talk to me about this. I don't have all the answers. You can ask me, what about the people who looked at the movie to tell us what's in there? I don't have the answer. What about football? When people are carried off on stretchers, four people during the long TV commercials, and people are being, brought because people are spearing them and diving into them and all that stuff. What about the violence? I don't have the answer. What about other physical sports? I don't have the answer. I'm just telling you what I know. There are a lot of things I don't know. Anyway, we'll get there too, Mindy. Anyway, in this preview, and this preview that comes out all the time that you're supposed to check before you go see a movie. They have a rating system. This is right from preview, by the way. There's a rating system that tells you, entertainment-wise, this is subjective. From a +4 to, it actually goes all the way to a -4. Actually, did it say that? Anyway, it's +4 to a -4, actually. And it says, oh, it's excellent, wonderfully entertaining, good, fair, poor, all that stuff. The stuff that, somebody in Cisco will say, thumbs up, thumbs down, all that kind of jazz. But it also has acceptability in it. It'll tell you that if there are no questionable elements, you get a +4. If they're slightly questionable, moderately questionable, very questionable, all the way down to minuses. Like films with objectionable elements. Severely objectionable, -4. Now that's all subjective. What is severely objectionable? What is moderately objectionable? But at least you have some clue to start off with. But this is the box that I live with in that thing. They have definitions in there on every movie. Well, actually, before they have definitions, they have how many times how many times different things are in there. So that example, if they say it's in there a few times, it means 1 to 4, whatever it is. Several times, 5 to 9, and many times, 10 plus. And then they'll tell you what, it, like mild, crude language is in there 1 to 4 times. And they tell me here what they mean by that. Moderate, crude language. They tell me what they mean by that. Obscene language. They tell me what they mean by that. It's unbelievable. I have regular profanity, exclamatory profanity, but nevertheless, they tell me what they mean by that. And I think we can all figure out what nudity means, but they tell me what they mean by that. Okay? So I will know on any given movie, I just look at the box. I don't read their write-up. I don't care what they say. Unless it's a great movie, then maybe I'd like what to say based on what's in here. Now let me ask you a question. You follow me so far? What would be in that preview guide? All right, now let me ask you guys a question. Would you, remember the devil, remember, you know, the whole thing here. I'm glad he's out of here now. Would you see this movie? You born again, Bible college Christian. Would you see a movie, you people who want to be holy, even paying to be holy, would you see a movie that had crude language in it many times, obscene language in it a few times, profanity in it that many times, a few times, violence, and I'm not talking about a make-believe sword fight with the two knights back there. I'm talking about, you know, beheadings, clubbings, stabbings, things like that. Now, try not to talk to one another because you can figure out why. Would you see a movie, you born-again Bible college people, that has sexual intercourse in it with just a little bit of breast nudity for you people who are into that? That kind of nudity. And sexually suggestive dialogue like that. You know, would you go see that movie as a person who's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to be holy? Well, if your answer is no, then I have to ask you, did you see that movie? Because if you did, you did. And the devil got you. And you've been desensitized. It's pretty shocking. Let me ask you this question. Would you see this movie? You born again Bible college, Bible toting Christian. Would you see this movie? Would you see a movie that had crude language in it? Would you pay to see this and pay enough so they can make another one? And pay the actors and the producers and the directors well. Would you see a movie that had crude language in it that many times? Obscene language in it that many times? Profanity that many times? Sexual intercourse that many times? Nudity that many times? And sexually suggestive dialogue that many times? If you say no, I wouldn't, then I have to say, then you're not a true evangelical. Because all the evangelicals just had to go see this darling movie. Because it had such a good plot. And the devil done us in. Now, folks, I did not see that movie. 89,000 people told me to go see that movie. But, you know, the same guy who switched places with his wife in the restaurant isn't going to go and see somebody take their blouse off. Just doesn't work that way. I don't care how good the plot is. I don't care how good the actor was. I don't care how many. I don't care if they gave it 89,432 Academy Awards for best something. It means nothing to me. I pursue the Lord. Which brings us to the hardest part of this class, by the way, is putting all these back together again in order. Our standard. And what we're trying to do. This is right from your standard book. Standards book? Standards book. The rationale. When you came here, I hope that you're changing, you know? Let me cover that up. I hope that you're changing. I hope that once something that seems so absurd when you came here and read the book seems so absurd, is no longer so absurd. And I hope that what once was so normal for you is no longer so normal for you. But now that's absurd. But the Visual and Performing Arts standard says, And the rationale says, the Bible declares that God is holy and that he demands holiness of his people in thought, spirit, and action. Particular emphasis is placed on the mind and heart because they are the essence of a person's character and the source of behavior. Renewing of the mind lies at the heart of the process of sanctification as one moves increasingly from conformity to the world to an understanding of. Remember, we even talked about in the beginning a hope that this knowledge gives way to understanding, understanding gives way to conviction, conviction gives way to repentance, to an understanding of a commitment to the will of God. You know, we're not some straight-jacketed people here who just decided to write this stupid standard. While God's standards of holiness apply equally to all his people, and they do, spiritual leaders carry a special responsibility. Let's check out how God talks about the shepherd of the Old Testament. Spiritual leaders carry a special responsibility to be example. And you're here to be spiritual leaders, be trained to do that. And since the purpose of CIU, I can just listen, is to train spiritual leaders, our community standards are intended to foster development of holiness in mind, heart, and behavior. CIU training must include teaching and practices which yield an understanding of God's standards and an adoption of a new lifestyle, breaking of old habits of thinking and behaving and developing new ones. Now that doesn't come easy. You know, you came here to change. Remember that one? You came here to change, not to remain the same. Remember, I'm not going to go bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. I can't change you. The Holy Spirit chooses not to bibbidi-bobbidi-boo you, but to convict you and to move you. But God has left it up to you as whether or not you change. But you can't change without changing. And so if you're going to sit there and you're going to say, I'm not changing. The guy is a nutball. The guy is a madman. I'm not changing. You can change. You may think he's cool. You may be buying into that New York accent. But I am not changing in this regard. If you're not going to change in this regard, you're not going to change like you want to change. I'm going to tell you. Which brings us to our standards. And we give you room. You know, Moody Bible Institute, they have a strange one as far as I'm concerned, but they probably think we have a strange one. They say you can't see any movie at all during when you're in class, when you're registered for class. No movie, nothing. Not Cinderella, nothing. But when you go home, you can see anything you want. That's interesting. But, you know, they're trying, we're trying. The standard says you are expected to apply biblical principles and to employ honesty and spiritual discretion in viewing all forms of dramatic entertainment, including network and cable television, video, cinema, opera, drama, plays, and musical performances. You should view only dramatic productions that are essentially wholesome, informative, or enriching. Entertainment that defiles your conscience or desensitizes you, I haven't slept well, folks, it happens, to ungodliness should be avoided. Forms of communication that violate God's standard of holiness in the areas of sexual impurity, profanity, or unnecessary violence, like gouging the eyes out, you know, and you know, I'm sorry, you know what I'm talking about, are unacceptable. So in summary, we say, please, 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 begin by reading the review and preview movie morality guide. In most instances, movies and videos rated PG-13 are entirely unacceptable by biblical standards, and thus should not be viewed. Underlined, not. I wrote this 6 years ago. You know, things have changed in 6 years? Even PG movies may contain language, scenes, and philosophy under the guise of entertainment which are an affront to the holiness of God 6 years ago. Our CIU standard, this is very important, does not automatically make all G, PG, and PG-13 movies permissible. I hear so many students say, oh, I'm going to see a movie. Is it R? No, it's not R. Oh, great, we can see it. That's not what it says. What we're doing is trying to give you the discretion based on the principles on what you should and should not see and say to you, spiritually, what you want me to say to you, grow up. Rather, you must exercise godly discretion in deciding before the Lord what is appropriate for you to view within these general parameters. In your pursuit of holiness and in light of biblical principles, there will be times when you need to leave the stage of media production or turn off a televised program. I purposefully, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I was wrong, maybe I am wrong, I don't know. I purposely did not write that standard, and I had help writing the standard. I'm just a lot of help writing the standard. But I purposely did not put in there, if there's a curse word, don't go to see the movie. I didn't do that. I'm trying to say to you, you say, well, why don't they just let us make our own? I'm trying to give you these I'm saying, all right, R's are gone, folks. This is no, unless, you know, you can read the standard. There's some reason you've got to see an R movie, and there's a specific reason to see your dean, and he or she will let you see it. You don't have to be accountable for it. But I'm saying, folks, within these guidelines, if there's, come on, and this is what you're going to have to face in the dorm, this is what you're going to have to face in the village, this is what you have to face wherever you live at the school, whether you work here or go to school here. You're going to have a bunch of students that are going to go see a movie, and it's PG-13 or PG, and all the stuff that I just did about the devil is going to be in that movie. It's going to be right here in River City. And I'm going to say to you, come on, just bear with me. Give me a minute and a half. No clicks, please. I'm going to say to you, should you go, it's a rhetorical question, should you go see the movie? Should you ask somebody to go see a movie like that? Should you ask Mr. Germain to go see that movie? Should you ask Mrs. Germain to go see that movie? And I'm saying to you guys, we've given you the guidelines. All I've left out there was don't go to R and above, or is it below? And here are these. I've given you the guidelines. Are you old enough? Are you wise enough spiritually to say, I won't go because it has that naked woman, that naked man, or this or that, or so many of this, or so many of that? I don't know where to draw the line. Does it have one? Is that all right? Is that two? I'm talking about, you know, profanities. You've got a conscience. But there's no doubt in my mind. For example, now, I mean, I am just way over whatever side, I suppose, than y'all, I guess. But if, I'll tell you one thing, if there's any nude scene in it, it's, forget it. And we're asking you to use your conscience based on the principle. And I'm asking you, what I asked the class last year, I began asking classes last year. I'm asking you, give me two more minutes, and I'm sorry. I'm asking you to change this school. You guys will be sophomores next year, or maybe you're juniors in here for the first, but, you know, generally speaking, you guys are moving on up. And I'm asking you to change the school. I mean, the school's the best school you've ever been to in your life, no doubt about it. Make it better. When people are going to the movies and stuff like that, and they're, don't go. Stand your ground. Be holy. Pursue holiness. Please. And when you get to be juniors and seniors, you've been here 2 or 3 years. Do you know what an influence you can be on the crowd that I'm going to be talking to 2 years from now? Don't let me do this myself. Don't let me up here like a screaming meanie. Please, give me an army of people pursuing holiness. And I can only do that one by one, you. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these people. Lord, we thank you for each other. Lord, 1 Corinthians 1 says you've taken the foolish things of the world out of the world and saved us to shame the wise. Dear God, we want to. Some of us have good backgrounds, some of us don't. Every one of us, Lord, wants to button our button to the top button. And Lord, we want to be holy. And some of us have a whole lot of repentant to do. And some of us have just a little repentant to do. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, no matter how much repenting we have to do, may we do it. God, may this class follow last year's classes. May they go out in the pursuit of holiness. And may what comes out of here, out of this school, in years to come, may it be known as a shining light that really goes to the churches and to the nation, preaching not only salvation, but sanctification, holiness, and discipleship. God, clean our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.